Webster.
Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends. And Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Got a great phone interview coming up. It's actually a pre-recorded interview that I did with Rick Fisher. He attends a Messianic congregation in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and he's going to tell us the story of how he came to know Yeshua when he was in his early 40s. And of course, I have great music for you, so stay with me, and I'll be right back. Was the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sattel from the Sattel Gallery. Well, the next song deserves a little explanation. Shema Yisrael means Hear, O Israel, and it is from a Hebrew prayer that Jews recite all over the world. And Chuck King from the CD Water from the Rock has a wonderful song out, Shema Yisrael.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem, Vod Malchuto,
Oh,
Well, let me tell you a little something for those of you Hebrew buffs out there. Not only does Shema Yisrael mean hear, O Israel, but Shema also in Hebrew means listen. So, you know, when you're talking to your children and they're not really paying attention, you can go, Shema, Shema, listen. Now, where have you heard Shema Yisrael before? Well, that is also the name of the congregation that I attend. Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation is one of my sponsors for Bagels and Blessings. And we would love to have you come out and worship with us. We meet every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. and our services are at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half a mile south of Empire Boulevard. We would love to have you come out and worship with us at Shema Yisrael. And while you're at Shema, you're going to want to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore. Oh my goodness, it's a bookstore and a gift shop, and it's got all kinds of books and CDs and prayer shawls and shofars and jewelry and cards and a lot of books about the Jewish holidays and books about how you can share Messiah with your Jewish friends. And if you're in the Buffalo, New York area, have I got some news for you. Congregation Brit Hadashah has purchased a new building. You might remember a few months ago, I interviewed Rabbi Frank Loewinger, and he talked about all the tsuris, all the troubles he went through trying to close on the new building. They're moving into the new building. Their first service will be next Saturday. So if you're in the Lockport, Medina, Buffalo area, Congregation Brit Hadashah has moved, and the new address is 50 Alberta Avenue in Amherst. 50 Alberta Avenue in Amherst, New York. And their services are every Saturday mornings at 10:30 a.m. So let me just tell you, we are now in the year 5773. This is the year. Hallelujah. Deborah Kleine-Interno from her new CD, Walk on Water.
Blessing and honor instead of shame.
Hallelujah. This is the year of the Lord's favor. I just pray right now in the name of Yeshua that the Lord would give you favor in your life. Maybe you are applying for a new job, or maybe you are just trying to get new hours, or you're trying to do something and you're praying really hard. I pray that the Lord's favor is on you today. Hallelujah. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Hey, I'm just the nice Jewish girl who loves Yeshua the Messiah. The most Jewish thing I ever did was accept Yeshua into my heart. And then pretty soon you're going to hear my interview with Rick Fisher, and he's going to tell his story of how he found the truth about Messiah Yeshua. I want to thank all of my sponsors. One of them is Pharaoh's Harem Salon and Spa. So if you're in the Rochester area and you're looking for a new place to get your hair done or a manicure, pedicure, facial or massage, or if you're a gentleman wondering what to give that special lady in your life, a gift certificate to Pharaoh's Harem Salon and Spa would just be the thing. Pharaoh's Harem has two locations. One of them is on West Henrietta Road, just up the street from Marketplace Mall. The phone number there is 359-2249, 585-359-2249. And the Fairport location is in Packets Landing on the Canal, and the number there is 585-223-5850, 585-223-5850. Come on into Pharaoh's Harem today, and you will be treated like royalty. Well, right now, I think it's time to praise the Lord with Daniel Kopp and Sarah Lieberman. This is from the CD Adonai. Hallelujah et Adonai. Praise the Lord. To get your furnace checked out, I highly recommend that you call Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 889-7840, or go to their website, excellentair.com. They're a family-owned and operated business with over 30 years' experience in the heating and cooling profession. So please give them a call today, Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 889-7840.
Praise the Lord, oh, he never.
also want to encourage you to call New Birth Computers if you have anything going on with your computer, if you need to have your computer scanned for spyware, malware, and viruses, if you have to have hardware repairs or computer upgrades like adding more memory or a larger hard drive or a DVD burner. If you need your home network set up, wired or wireless, or how about this? You're looking for a present for someone. Do you have a bunch of old family movies laying around? Well, do you know that Bruce Bay at New Birth Computers does an excellent job converting old movies to DVD? He puts these beautiful labels on them. Oh, it's just wonderful. It's elegant. And so give him a call today at 293-3407. That's 585-293-3407. Or send him an email at newbirthcomputers@rochester.rr.com. Well, this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. And I want to encourage you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Lord says so in the scriptures, and it's just so important. There's a lot going on in the Middle East right now. In a few weeks, we're going to hear a testimony of a gentleman who was brought up in an Arab family who loves Yeshua. And so there are a lot of non-Jews over in the Middle East who love the Lord with all their heart. Arabs and Jews can live together side by side, worshiping the Lord. But right now, we're going to hear a beautiful, beautiful song. This is Carlos Perdomo from Desert of My Days, and this is called Prayer for Jerusalem.
For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. The nations will see your vindication, and all the kings your glory. You will be called by a new name, which Adonai himself will pronounce. Adonai has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, hear, your salvation is coming. Here, his reward is with him. They will call them the holy people, the redeemed of Adonai. You who call on Adonai, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he restores Jerusalem and makes it a praise on earth. Prosper who love you and pray for your peace. May the honor of nations be poured at your feet. May the Lion of Judah defend you and keep you. City of the Lord Most High, dwelling place of Adonai. Jerusalem, we bless you with our prayers for peace. May the Lord protect and lead you safely through your trouble and the danger from your enemies. May safely through your trouble.
Again, that was Carlos Perdomo from a new CD that came to me recently. It's called Desert of My Days. And I know that you were deeply touched by that song, as I was the first time I heard it. Prayer for Jerusalem, Carlos Perdomo. Right now, it's time to hear a word from my sponsor, Odell Family Chiropractic.
Your back is a delicate matter. Everyday things can affect it.
This is the last time I'm picking your toys up off the floor. Oh boy, it just went out.
Major injuries can leave you in bed for days.
Look out!
It's called vertebral subluxation. It's what happens when your back is thrown out of its correct alignment. It causes major pains and in time may damage internal functions. That's why the first time you visit Odell Family Chiropractic, they will determine if x-rays of your spine are needed to pinpoint the exact problem. If they find that they can help you, they'll develop a care plan to allow the spine to achieve the correct position and strengthen it so that it will want to stay strong. They'll prove it to you. During your care with them, they'll show you x-rays of the progression your spine is making while moving into its correct alignment. Visit any of the four Odell Family Chiropractic locations today to receive a free preventative health evaluation. Call 671-9210. That's 671-9210. Say goodbye to back pain permanently.
Are full, they are heavy, about to pour on thankful hearts. We are devoted to being thankful, so let the flood of the blessings start. Pour out your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Blood that the breath of the Lord drives. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Let his heaven invade our lives. Pour out your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit.
Of heaven.
Wow, that was Greg Silverman. You just gotta love his energy. Woo! Wow. Alrighty, now it's time for Joel Chernoff to tell you how you can be a blessing to Israel.
Shalom, Joel Chernoff here for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Did you know that God promised in Genesis 22:18 that through Israel, all of the nations would be blessed? Isaiah 35:1 speaks of how Israel's deserts and parched land would one day blossom like the rose. In 1910, not much grew in Israel. Most of the 10,000 inhabitants were Bedouins and marauding bands of thieves and thugs. That was until 10 Jewish men and 2 women pioneers decided to take a dry parcel of land in northern Israel and turn it into Israel's first kibbutz or communal farm. As a way to provide security from raiding gangs and to make the best use of the land, kibbutzes began springing up all over Israel. Many of those early Jewish farmers lost their lives to enemies and diseases, but God blessed them with some of the most innovative means of getting the most out of a small, barren region. Today, many countries around the world, including the U.S. and Africa, meet with Israeli agriculturalists to learn how to maximize their commercial agricultural production through communal farming. Don't those early Jewish communal farms in Israel remind us of our churches and synagogues? God knew that we would need the safety, accountability, and fellowship of the believers. When we thank Him for our blessings, let us also remember our spiritual communal farms. May they too grow and prosper and produce the most out of the barren regions of our hearts. This is Joel Chernoff for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Shalom.
Today, nearly 1 in 3 Israelis live below the poverty line. We have an opportunity to return the many blessings God has given us through Israel by becoming a part of God's prophesied restoration of Israel. To learn more, go to roiminute.com. That's roiminute.com.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael. That's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shema Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
Come on, baby, I need bagels.
Gimme bagels tonight.
Okay, folks, get your dialing fingers ready. Punch those buttons, 222-2990, 585-222-2990. The winner gets a coupon for bagels. The question is, what caused Moses to break the tablets of the Ten Commandments? What motivated Moses to break those Ten Commandment tablets? Why did he do that? 222-2990. And the winner will not go on the air because I want to make sure that I leave ample time for my interview with Rick Fisher, a nice Jewish boy from Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. He's going to tell you how he found his Messiah. But first, you can win a coupon for bagels if you can answer the question, why did Moses break the tablets of the Ten Commandments? What motivated him to break those commandments? 222-2990. Be sure to call now. All right. Now it gives me great pleasure to bring you an interview that I did in July when I was at the Messiah Conference. I sat down with my buddy Rick Fisher. He's one of the worship leaders in Davidic dance at Congregation Beth Yeshua in Philadelphia. And here's my interview.
Rick Fisher, I am so excited to have run into you here at the Messiah Conference, and I want to welcome you to Bagels and Blessings.
And I feel the same way, Ethel. I always love seeing you every summer, and I'm really glad we have this opportunity to speak today.
Great, great. Well, you and I have one really important thing in common, and that is the belief that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah. And so I want to find out a little bit about your background. I guess the first question I have for you, Rick, is can you tell me how it was growing up? Like, were you raised in a Jewish home?
Yes, I was, 100%.
He's a thoroughbred. Does that mean that you celebrated the Jewish holidays and you were bar mitzvahed and things like that?
Yes, everything. We were not religious, though. We did not have any strong relationship with God, but we did not miss a holiday dinner, ever.
Sounds good. Did you have a favorite Jewish holiday growing up?
Hanukkah.
Gee, I wonder why. I think most of you listening to this program know that at Hanukkah you get gifts, usually one for every night for 8 nights. Amen?
Amen.
Great. All right, so you grew up in a traditional Jewish home. Did your family believe in God, talk about God? Were you ever encouraged to pray?
My parents definitely believe that there is a God. Praying, absolutely not. That was never a topic. We did not do things like Friday night candles, but we did do high holiday services. I did go to Hebrew school. I was bar mitzvahed. I did the whole gamut, but by age 14, that all seemed to end for me.
Was there a particular thing that happened to make that all end?
Honestly, I think my parents felt they had fulfilled their obligation, and I wasn't all that interested, to be honest. I was very socially oriented, and I wanted to be with my friends doing things rather than going to Friday night or Saturday services.
All right, I understand. I see that. That happens to a lot of people, and they just go through synagogue training and Hebrew training, whatever, and then they have their bar bat mitzvah, and then that's it. So can you describe your teenage years? Because I love asking people about their teenage years. People have all kinds of stories. Maybe yours aren't wild, but if they are, it might make the interview more fun. I don't know.
Well, I've always been very socially oriented. I did dance on a TV show. I used to dance on American Bandstand when I was a teenager.
No way!
Yes,
American Bandstand!
I'm still in touch with many of those people to this day. So,
can I have your autograph?
Absolutely. I was a party person growing up. I was a fairly good student in school, but academics were not my priority. I loved the social life. And basically, I always tell people, although in the rearview mirror, I don't know if this is true now, but I felt like I was in a Leave It to Beaver family growing up. We had the perfect little house with the front yard and the backyard, and everything seemed pretty normal.
Your mother wore a dress all the time?
Yes, pearls too.
Wow. Okay, then. Would you say that you were spiritually seeking during your teenage years or college years? Or we're going to eventually get to the big question. You know what the big question is?
I think I can figure that out.
All right. I want to know about your spiritual journey. How did it begin, and how did you find out that Yeshua is the Messiah?
You want me to tell you, really? Okay.
So tell me.
Well, teenage life, absolutely no search. Nothing at all. I did go to high holiday services until I was 18, because my parents did insist that that was just what nice Jewish people did. Once I was 18, I basically was not obligated and absolutely had no interest at all in anything to do religious, but I did claim to be Jewish. I was very proud to be Jewish. I loved the Jewish culture. I just had no interest in the religion. When I turned 30, my aunt, who was like a second mother to me, actually passed away from cancer. It was a devastating loss to me, and I literally felt there was no God at that point. I should say it this way, I didn't think God was for me. I considered myself an agnostic. So I proceeded through my 30s, again, not interested in any way, but I was a school teacher. I'm a retired teacher, age 6, I transferred to another school. And a woman that I met at that school who transferred the same day as me was a born-again Christian, which to me was a foreign concept. And we became friendly. And about 3 or 4 years after meeting her, she called me and invited me to go to a place called Beth Yeshua. I asked her what it was. She proceeded to tell me it was Jewish people who believed in Jesus. And my response was, you're making this up. There is absolutely no such place.
Does not compute. Does not compute.
Exactly. My first answer was no, I would not go. And then when I thought about it, I said, oh, it's in a neighborhood I used to live in many years ago. I called her back and said, if we can eat at Jaime's for dinner, I'll go to Beth Yeshua with you. So she said, great. You know, little did I know that she was trying to convert me. That's in my mind what I thought. Off we go. It was a horrifying experience to me. I just could not believe what I saw. There was nothing I liked about it except for one thing, the praise and worship. I liked all the dancing. I liked the spirit of things, but it was foreign. I probably to this day would not be a believer if Jeff Foreman, who's now a rabbi, met me that night, somehow was able to get my phone number from another person and started to call me. And that's how the spiritual journey really began. He worked with me. I fought it tooth and nail. Tooth and nail I fought it. But I did allow him to come to my home about every other week to do Bible studies with me. You can see now how it was God's plan. But after several weeks, I really was not a good student to him.
By the way, I'm just curious, Rick, what was it about the Messianic congregation that you didn't like? You said you liked to praise and worship the dancing, but what was it you didn't like?
What I didn't like was the fact that as a Jewish person, I really felt that I was a traitor even considering believing in Jesus.
Okay.
The word Jesus was only used in my life as a curse word prior to knowing the Lord.
Sure.
Yeshua was a foreign word to me, you know, totally. So it was hard for me to understand what could be wrong with everybody that they would leave the Jewish culture to become this. That's how I looked at it. And Jeff Foreman, as I said, was working with me. But interesting enough, he would ask me to do certain things during the time he'd come. He'd say, well, like, I'm leaving. Please read this in the Bible. He bought me a beautiful Bible. And please pray, different things. He'd come 2 weeks later, ask me if I did it. I always said no. Never did anything he asked me to do. But I kept letting him come, and he kept coming.
Well, you were stubborn.
Yeah, I was. Very, very much so. Well, one night, he literally looked at me and said, Rick, every time I pray for you, I hear from the Lord that you are going to be a believer. Yet, in the natural, nothing is happening. What is the stumbling block?
What's the deal with you?
Exactly. So I said to him, I actually thought about it, and it just hit me that night. I said, if you can tell me why 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust, maybe then I might consider believing in Yeshua. I said, until then, I really am not all that interested.
And that really is one of the questions people ask. So I'm really curious now to see what happened next.
Okay, well, what he did was he literally sat down on my chair, put his hands between his fists, and just sat there for about a minute and said, you know, Rick, most people that I minister to and work with, this is a question. He said, it took you a little longer to ask. He said, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have an exact answer for you. He said, but I know God is sovereign. I know God loves us, he said. And it did bring our people to Israel. Did that satisfy me? Not necessarily, but the reason I liked his answer was it was the first time I saw Jeff as human. Instead of quoting a bunch of scriptures to me like I always did, he gave me a real answer. Then he did something which, looking back, surprises me that he didn't do sooner. We sat down and read Isaiah 53 together.
Mm.
And when I read it, I instantly knew that Yeshua was the Messiah. But it's not the happy ending yet, because my response to that was, please don't let this be true. Please don't let this be true, because I will lose every friend, every family member. No one will want me in their lives anymore.
Ooh, you were having a difficult time with this.
Very much so, yes, I was. But from that moment on, I knew Yeshua and Yeshua Jesus was the Messiah. And God stepped in there, but the enemy did as well. They both went on overtime to get me. The enemy did strange things. Or let me put it this way. Two things happened that convinced me that I better start looking more towards God. A week after Jeff and I read Isaiah 53, I went to the zoo for a teacher's seminar. And they put 30 teachers in a room together, and we were going to learn games to teach our classes. And the first game was Predator and Prey. Now, every teacher was given a picture of an animal. I got the snake.
Oh, my goodness.
That said something to me. I mean, even as a novice, I knew that the snake meant something. Then a week later, I had this dream where I was walking my dog down the street, and all of a sudden, my dog turned into a snake and started to chase me down the street. And that's when I called Jeff Foreman and told him everything that was happening. And he pretty much said, Rick, you need to start coming to synagogue. You need to start coming. And I did. At that point, I went to Beth Yeshua every week, unsaved. And I even wrote, I found it in an old journal, I even wrote, I love the people there. I think it's a wonderful place. If only they didn't believe in Jesus, this would be perfect. But about 6 months later, I went to a Passover Seder, and that night they actually asked, you know, gave the altar call at the Seder, and I remember sitting there saying, Lord, if you really think I'm worthy to be a part of you, I will try to be a believer. I will make it an effort. I don't know if you're even going to want me. That's where I was coming from at that point. And instantly, I felt a peace. I can't say that my life was transformed in one day. I still have a long way to go now. But I definitely felt a peace when I did that. And I remember calling my brother the next day and telling him. And my brother told me he believed in Jesus. He was a secret believer.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious. And we got together and we talked. And of course, my parents did not know anything about this. I had not lived with them for many years when I accepted the Lord. I was 42 years old.
I bet your brother had been praying for you.
Probably. But interesting enough, I didn't know how to tell my parents. And this is sort of interesting how things happen. I went 8 weeks after I accepted the Lord, or maybe 9 weeks, was Messiah Conference. Now, I had gone to Messiah Conference the year before for 2 days unsaved. Hated it. But somebody took me there, this Jill that brought me to Beth Yeshua. She thought maybe I'd like lamb if I went. She brought me that day. Well, anyway, I went that year for the week. But how do you tell your parents, Jewish parents, that you're going to Messiah College in Grantham, Pennsylvania?
For a conference where everyone believes in Jesus.
Exactly. And this was pre-cell phone days. So I called them up and I did what every good believer would do. I had to lie. I actually said to them, Mom and Dad, I'm going to be out of town for 8-9 days. I'm going camping with Jill. Right there, they should have known that was there's something wrong with that. And they actually said, okay. They didn't seem anything wrong with that. And I said, I'll call you a couple times during the week to check and see if all's well. Well, believe it or not, God works in such mysterious ways that I had a friend named Freda who was in Beth Yeshua at the time. Her mother and my mother had been friends since they were 6 years old. Freda was, of course, at the conference. Her mother happens to be in Harrisburg that day and walks into the conference to get Freda because she was going to take her to lunch and sees me in the conference.
Out of 2,000 people. You got to get this straight, guys. There's like over 2,000 people here, so the odds of somebody walking in the door and seeing Rick are just phenomenal.
And she sees me instantly, and she says, what are you doing here? Your mother never told me that you were part of this group. And I said, well, my mother doesn't know. I said, I haven't told her. But I knew right then she was going to find out. And when I got home 4 days later, those were the days with the beeps on the phone for the messages, and there was many, many beeps. And when I got to hers, this is what it said. Call me the moment you get in.
Oi.
So I pick up the phone.
Oi.
My mother answers, and this is what she says. Why did we have to hear this from Polly and not from you?
Oh.
So I said, well, I was trying to avoid World War III, but I think it's going to happen right now. And she said, there will not be, and boom, the explosion of the century happened. And
isn't that when we had a power outage in the whole Northeast?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you remember. But anyway, she put my father on the other phone, and they just carried on like you wouldn't believe. And I found it ironic that I hadn't lived with them for 20 years at least. There was never anything about my life that they questioned. Anything. This was sending them through the ceiling.
You could have been an atheist and they probably wouldn't have cared.
I could have become a Buddhist, a Muslim, anything. The idea that I would believe in Jesus was just beyond what they could understand. And they also felt, which I can understand why, because of the type of publicity we get, they felt that this was an organization for lost, unhealthy people.
Right.
That's what they were seeing there. And they kept saying, you've always had a good life. You do this, you do that. You don't need people like this. They weren't even seeing the actual Yeshua part. They were thinking of only the people that I was around. And they were very wonderful people there. It's not even the issue. Which they eventually met many of them and actually liked them. But the point was they were horribly, horribly, horribly upset by everything.
Let me just get this straight. This was when you went there and you didn't believe yet? This was
I had accepted the Lord.
You had already.
On Passover.
Got it.
About almost 2 years later.
Okay.
I went there the first time in 1988, the summer of 88, and I accepted the Lord April 10th, 1990, at a Passover Seder. And I was talking to them the day after Messiah, July of 1990.
Got it.
And the other big issue I thought I might want to share, I mean, let me just say this before I forget. Once I did accept the Lord, it opened up all types of avenues in my life that were different in terms of the way I looked at things, the way I looked at people. But I also had God that for the first time in my life, I felt that there was someone that I could give everything to and know that somehow I was going to be covered. That was the thing that was so different for me because I tended to not trust anybody. So I did everything on my own. Did it happen automatically? No. But I was now learning to give and to surrender. And this is what was a big change for me. And I was very bold in the beginning of my walk and shared a lot of this. People thought I was nuts. But nevertheless, it did happen. But the other issue for me that I think is important to know is the miracles of God. I had been a chain smoker for 27 years. When I accepted the Lord, I was still smoking. And I never thought I'd be able to give that up. I had been to Smoke Enders years before, paid a lot of money. Within 2 weeks, was back smoking again. I waited about 6 months in the Lord. And I mean, it sounds worldly, but the truth of it was I had my 25th class reunion coming up. I didn't want to gain any weight for the reunion because I hadn't seen these people in years. But as soon as the reunion was over, I decided to quit smoking. I tried. I couldn't do it on my own strength. And I called a friend of mine. In fact, he's in the congregation with me, James Morris. You may know him, Ethel.
I don't think so.
He's a tall fellow. He's a great prayer warrior. Well, anyway, I called him up on the phone, and we didn't know each other all that well. And he prayed for me on the telephone. I asked him to pray for me. I told him I smoked. Nobody in Beth Yeshua knew, to my knowledge. He prayed for me for about 20 minutes on the phone. While he was praying for me, this is not a lie, I was smoking one cigarette after the other. Because I knew in my spirit that I was this would be the end.
Get it
and
all in?
I literally kept lighting one up off the other. And as soon as we got off the telephone, that was January 1st, 1991, I took what cigarettes were left, broke them up, threw them in the trash, never touched another one again.
And you didn't go through withdrawal?
Well, somewhat, but I think it would have been worse. But the point is, I am now 65 years old. I'm the dance leader for this conference. If I would be smoking still, I probably would be with the Lord.
I think
so. At this point.
Wow, that's wonderful. Congratulations. I know it's not hard to. It's not easy to do that.
It was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And the fact that the Lord took me to a ministry that I was already 44 years old when I went into that ministry. I'm now 65. I still dance, but we were in a performance troupe for many years. We were like a troupe of all 50-year-olds in the 50s. And God just opened up all types of ways for me to minister to others. I've been in a million churches, a million things, sharing this ministry, sharing testimonies, sharing the Lord, and sharing the fact that Jewish people can believe in Yeshua. And the Christian believers need to understand that they have an obligation as much as possible to bring Jewish people to the Lord. It's not just up to us. I was brought originally by a Gentile Christian woman to Beth Yeshua, and then Jeff sort of took over from there. So, in all honesty, when I look back on my particular situation, it had to be totally crafted by the Lord, because none of this could have happened in the natural. The fact that Jill showed up at the school the same day as me, the fact that once I heard she was a born-again Christian, that I would even consider being friends with her, because most of my weekends were in clubs and of that type of thing. I was not the church type, if you know what I mean. And she was the last person I would have ever gotten friendly with. But I was gravitated to her. And just step by step after that, how the Lord just brought me to him. And I am so thankful.
That's what Praise God. Yeah. Also, I think it's really interesting to note that God provided a mentor for you in the form of Jeff Foreman. And I was just wondering, and this is probably putting you on the spot a little bit, but have you had an opportunity in your years of walking with the Lord to mentor anyone else who's seeking, you know, searching for God?
Well, I've had a chance to semi-disciple people and that type of thing. I have been assigned a couple people in our congregation, but the difference is, for me, which is not that the case, they're not people that I'm necessarily that close with today. Jeff has remained a lifelong friend. I mean, I flew to Toronto for every one of his children's bar bat mitzvah. Where I think I've been used the most in the Lord is through the dance. I really do. You know, at first I was very self-conscious that so many people would come up to me because I really didn't know them. And it's not that I'm an introvert, but I just felt that so many people all at once. But I really feel the Lord has used me to be an encourager, especially in these latter years, to say that I can still do this. And just having the opportunity as a Jewish person, when people meet me at the conference, they say, I have a Jewish male friend. I know a Jewish man. Maybe he'd come to the Lord now that I've met you. Just being visible to other people makes a difference.
You're a walking encouragement.
I hope. That's what I'd like to be.
Do you believe God is still doing miracles today?
Absolutely. The fact, let me tell you something. I had a surgery in March, a hernia surgery, and for 8 weeks I was not allowed to dance. And here's the conference coming up. Anyone that's listening that's ever been to Messiah Conference knows it's intense with the worship. We all afternoon, all evening. I slowly got back into it in May with the doctor's permission. And I was sort of dreading coming this year because I felt like if something happens that I can't do this, what's going to happen? And then I said, you know what? You're not trusting God. You're not trusting God. Give it to God. Let him handle it. Got here the first night. It's been smooth sailing ever since. And the Spirit of God is so all over this conference this year with the praise and worship, with the classes. But am I going to lie and say I feel perfect? I get up in the morning. I hurt a little bit. But you know what? Every pain is worth it to be able to worship the way we're worshiping in unity and love here in this conference.
Amen. Well, Rick, this has been wonderful. And before we conclude, I just wondered if there's any prayer requests you have for you or your family. I guess I didn't ask you one more question before we even get to prayer requests. Is the rest of your family, did they ever get used to you believing in Yeshua?
Interesting enough, both of my brothers are saved. Now, they both accepted the Lord.
Yay!
And one of my sister-in-laws. My parents, that's my prayer request, basically. One of them for them is for salvation. But I will say this. I've had a couple major birthday parties since I've been in the Lord. My parents have come. They actually love the people. And my father said something to me about 10 years ago that I thought was very interesting. I was having a cup of coffee with him, and he just looked at me and said, you know what? You are so much of a nicer person since you've gone to that place. He can't call it a synagogue. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, I've always loved you. He said, I love my children as much as anybody can. But you are so much nicer now. So my comment to him was, gee, Dad, thanks. I said, you could have the same thing I have. Oh, no, not for me, but for you, I'm thrilled. And that touched me deeply.
Sure.
And my mother and father, even though they cannot get to the place of believing, but I'm trusting that they will before they leave this earth, they always ask me, do you still go there? How so-and-so, different people they've met. They know it's a part of my life. They accept it as a part of my life. But my prayer request is that they would somehow get the blinders removed from their eyes.
Yes.
And see that you can be Jewish and believe in Yeshua.
Amen.
That's what they can't say.
Yes, we will keep that in prayer.
And prayer request is just, since I am in the latter stages, not latter stages, but the latter years in terms of dance, most people are not dancing at my age, the amount, I pray that the Lord would give me many more years to be able to do this ministry as in its little pain or no pain as possible.
Amen. May the Lord bless you. May He give you strength. And may your parents come to know the truth so that they can have the joy in the Lord of knowing Yeshua as their Messiah.
Amen, Ethel. Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you, Rick, for being my guest on Bagels and Blessings. And I look forward to seeing you again next time.
Amen. I look forward to it as well. Thank you.
You're welcome. Shalom.
Shalom.
And now, here's Phil Klein with the Aaronic Benediction.
Vayismorecha Yahir Adonai panavalecha vikunecha Yisa Adonai panavalecha We assemble Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. And remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to the program today. I'll be back next Saturday right here on 990 AM. Shalom! We'll be right back.